Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the lower part of Daf Kuf Chof Omid Beis. The Gemara that we left off with last time was in the middle of a discussion. We had seen Shitas Beit Shammai that said, Ein She'elo Behekdish. And as a result of that, the need for the Gezeira Shava that the Gemara used last time between Shchitas Chutz and Haforas Nedorim was of no benefit to Shitas Beis Shammai, because that Gezeira Shava told us that Yesh She'ela B'Kodshim. Beis Shammai, however, who holds that Hegdish B'Toz is Hegdish, that Hegdish sanctification done under mistaken circumstances is binding all the same, and being that it's binding, it's not subject to being absolved through the process known as Hatoras Nedorim. What does Beis Shammai do with the expression Zeh HaDovar that you find by Shchut Eichutz and that you find by Haforas Nedorim? The Gemara, 4 lines from the bottom, will be picking up with this discussion. Ula Beis Shammai deles lehu gezeira shava. Beis Shammai, whom, as we said, does not hold from the gezeira shava method of learning, the connection of terms between the two parshios, the two sections, one dealing with Haforas Nedorim and the other dealing with Shchitas Kodshim. Haforas Nedorim b'shloisha hedyotos mino lehu. From where will Beit Shammai derive that halacha, that Haforas Nedorim, that absolution of vows can take place through 3 common citizens, there being no need for three experts that other areas of halacha may insist upon? The Gemara answers that it's learned from a drosha that we're going to see in a brisa. We're going to encounter now a fairly unusual form of Gemara with the marvelous marking system that we are all enjoying together. We will be able to make some headway and clarity in the coming Gemara. You'll notice the brackets. The brackets enable us to skip a section and realize that the answer to this question of how does Beis Shammai know that the Haforas Nedorim, that the absolution of vows can take place with 3 hedyotos, the answer to that will be focused upon or will be zeroed in on at the point after the brackets. As opposed to the usual use of brackets for assisting in the smoothness of the reading of the Gemara, that will not be the case over here. Hence, we will read the Gemara straight through, but with these few introductory words, we have made it clear that the answer to this point, which is the focus of our sugya, will appear only later on. We have a note on the inside margin indicating what we just said. So let us read the note together. Sograyim elu, notice where the asterisk is on the inside margin. Sograyim elu, enom l'shem dilug. They're not designed for skipping in order to assist in the reading. Ela marim, rather they show shehatshuva, that the answer la she'ilo hanochachi, to the current question, namely, in parentheses we've added hedyotos b'haforas nedarim, commoners being acceptable for vow absolution, mofia rak besoif hatshuva haruka, appear only at the end. At the end of what? At the end of our long question marking. You might notice on the inside, or the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, on the right, on the left-hand side of the Gemara text, there's a tuf that's encircled that represents a teretz, a long answer marking, which goes quite a way down on Kuf Chof Aleph Omer Aleph. The answer to our question will appear only close to the end of this long marking. B'soicha sograyim, muvah habraisa, within the bracketed section, the Gemara will bring a Tanaic source, a braisa, she mehaseifa yavoi hatshuva. Only from the seifa of the braisa will be information relevant to our answer. Aval ad oz ha-Gemara mazbira gam esaresha. But until we get to that point, the Gemara will explain the resha of the source as well. So until that point, we are going to get ready for a section of Gemara that will appear to be unrelated to our topic of how does Beis Shammai know that Aforas Nedarim is accomplished through three commoners. The Gemara continues. After having asked the question of Minolahu, from where do they know it, the Gemara answers, Nafka lahu midesanya. They learn it from the following Tanaic source. In the marking system, you are already aware that Tanaic sources appear in frames. Vaydaber Moshe es moyadei Hashem el b'nei Yisrael. The Brice opens up with a posuk that describes Moshe Rabbeinu discussing the Parsha, the section of holidays, and telling it over to B'nai Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Oimer. We're going to learn something in this Brisa that's not going to make any sense initially. So bear with it until the Gemara explains. Moyadei Hashem ne'emru, Shabbos Breishis lo ne'emra. The Torah says, Moyadei Hashem, roughly translated as the holidays. Shabbos Breishis is an expression that refers to the weekly Sabbath, the weekly Shabbos. Ben Azai Omer, Moadei Hashem Nemru, Haforas Nedorim Lo Nemra. That's the end of the Braisa. Rabbi Yossi Bar Nosson Havi Gomir Lo Lohomas Nisa. Rabbi Yossi had learned this source, Falo Yodale Lefrusha. But he didn't know how to explain it. Very interesting comment, or educational commentary, that one sees in this line, that there is value in learning pieces of Torah even if one initially doesn't understand it. For here you have an example of someone that learned it. He tells you that he learned it. He very likely committed it to memory even. And he tells us he didn't understand it. But of course, when encountering Torah that one doesn't understand, at some point, one has to find out what it means. Torah is not an exercise in memorizing or just learning blindly. However, in one's initial learning, there is a lot to be said, and there are a lot of sources on this topic of learning, even if one doesn't understand the full depths of it initially. So we continue. He tells us he didn't know the pirush of this source. Ozal basrei derav sheshes l'nahar dov lo ashkechei. He pursued Rav Sheshes to the town of Nahar Dov and didn't find him there. Ozal basrei l'mechuza ashkechei. One might wonder, why does the Gemara have to tell us about all his travels? I think there's a hidden message there as well, that when trying to learn Torah, one has to exert himself. One has to put himself out and go to where you can learn from.
one shouldn't expect the Torah to come to his doorstep. We may be fortunate in this day and age that Torah does in fact come to one's computer screen. The Gemara continues. Ozal Basrei, the Mechuza, Ashkechez. We mentioned he found him, he went after him to Mechuza, another community, and found him there. Omar Le, Rabbi Yossi asks, Mai, what is the meaning of Moedei Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Breishis, Lo Nemra? Notice in our markings, we have this volcano shape. It indicates something of a repetitive nature, a series nature. If you just scan down the page, you'll notice once again another one. And immediately following that will be the quote from the same Bryce of the Seifa section, which will be of primary interest to us because it will be dealing with our issue. On the outside margin, we've noted the Nose Mivne heading. It says there, the volcano shape is Hezber Shnei Bovos HaBraisa. The explanation of the two sections of the Tanaic source, Moadei Hashem Nemru, etc. We titled the source with that. Number one, Haforas Nedorim Lo Nemra. And that being the second part of the source, and the first part of the source had been Shabbos Breishis Nemra. So in order of things, we have first Shabbos Breishis Lo Nemra, and the second point is Haforas Nedorim Lo Nemra. The Gemara continues. My Moedei Hashem Nemru Shabbos Breishis Lo Nemra. What is the meaning of that? That the Torah, that the source says that the holidays were taught and Shabbos not. Omar Le, Rav Sheshes, who was a known expert in Tanaic sources, the Gemara tells us of that in other places. He says, Moedei Hashem tzrichim kiddush beis din. Shabbos Breishis eino tzricha kiddush beis din. In order to establish when a holiday comes about, it's necessary to know when Rosh Chodesh takes place. And many years ago, in the times of the Sanhedrin, Edim, witnesses, would go out and view the heavens at the beginning of the new month and notice the moon in its crescent form, and then offer testimony that they saw the new moon. With that, they would come with that information, with that experience, they would come to Beis Din, and then there would be a process known as Kiddush HaChodesh. With Kiddush HaChodesh, with the declaration on the part of Beis Din of when the month begins, we then know when the respective holidays are to begin. To a certain degree, Beis Din has control over when the holidays will take place. Without getting into details, we should just be aware of that. On the other hand, Shabbos will take place regardless of whether there's Kiddush Beis Din, Kiddush HaChodesh, or not. It's a once a week event that happens all the time, and Beis Din has no control over that. The Rashbam says Shabbos Breishis Eino Tzricha Kiddush Ke'ein Shemekachin Amoyadas Ayedei Kiddush Rosh Chodeshim. Shabbos Breishis, which we said before is a reference to the weekly Sabbath, the weekly Shabbos day, doesn't require the court announcement that accompanies the new month. Ein mekachin echod b'Shabbos lios shvi shelo Shabbos. We don't have some type of proclamation on Sundays in order to calculate therefrom when the seventh day comes about. Elo li'olam yoim shvi'i Shabbos hu below kiddush Beis Din. Rather, the seventh day, every seventh day is Shabbos. V'nafkalei midichtiv moyadei Hashem. Yisera. It's learned from the extra expression that appears in the Torah, Moedei Hashem. The Rashbam goes on to explain how you see that that is an extra expression. Continuing in the Gemara. Salka Daita Chamina, had this Brisa not told us this particular halacha, I would have thought, Hayul Uksivi Gabi Moyadais, since Shabbos appears in the Torah in the context of the holidays, Tiboi Kiddush Beis Din Kemayados. I would have thought that in order to determine when Shabbos takes place, you would require a sanctification on the part of Beis Din. Komash Malon, that's what this teaching conveys to us, that it does not require, Shabbos does not require the Beis Din proclamation, which the holidays do require when new months were determined by witnesses. Today, of course, which is things were different as from the early times of the Gemara of the Amoraic period when the calendar was established, and even the holidays don't take place through Kiddush Beis Din, but in the times of the Psukim, times of the Tanakh and the Mishnah, Beis Din was very active in this area of halacha. All that having been said, this is not really our main topic. The main thrust of our discussion picks up over here. And this you can see, once again, as we pointed out, with the assistance of the markings, we're now outside the brackets, back into the regular sugya. The sugya being, how would Beis Shammai know that Haforas Nedarim can take place through three commoners when Beis Shammai does not hold from the Gezeir Shavah Limud that was used before? My Moyadei Hashem Nemru Haforas Nedarim Lo Nemra. We also have arrows in the little space between the Gemara and the Rashbam text so that one can easily find where this quote is coming from. So the question is, what is conveyed by this, by the Seifa of the source, that the Torah refers to Moedei Hashem, but not to Haforas Nedarim? Explanation, Moedei Hashem Tzrichim Mumchim, the holidays and the proclamation of the new month requires expert dayonim. When we said before that Beis Din sits and sanctifies the new month, the members of that Beis Din must be mumchin, experts. Haforas nedarim eino tzricha mumchin. As opposed to absolution, absolution of vows, that does not require mumchin. Gemara asks, v'ha roshei hamatos ksiv, but in the parsha of Nedarim, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, the term used is roshei hamatos, which conveys expertise. So how can you tell me that three commoners are sufficient? Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Rav Yochanan, b'yochid mumche, the limud, the value of telling me roshei hamatos has value in the context of a singular expert, namely a yochid mumche, singular expert, is also capable of absolving vows. At this point then, we saw two ways of learning that three commoners are sufficient for absolving vows. We had the Gezeira Shava method of learning, or you have the Beis Shammai method of learning, which derives it from this particular limud that was seen in the Brisa under the name Ben Azai. Before we continue, let us glance at the outside margin to see what the topic heading is. The Nose, Lo hoyu yomim toivim liYisrael ke Tu Ba'av Uchayoim Kippur. The Klal Yisrael never experienced festive days like the 15th of Av and like Yom Kippur. Tanan Hosam. Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo hayu yomim tovim l'Yisrael kechamisha asar ba'av ukeyom ha-kipurim. Shebohen, during these 2 days, benois Yerushalayim yoytzeis b'kli lovan she'ulim, shelo levayesh esmi she'emo. The girls of Yerushalayim would go out into the public with borrowed white clothing. The idea of borrowing was to save from embarrassment those who could not afford clothing, and as a result of not being able to afford, in order to participate in this festive event, they would have to borrow. So someone who would borrow would feel embarrassed. This particular ruling says that everyone, even those who had their own, would wear borrowed clothing for this public appearance of the girls on these days. The Gemara explains elsewhere that this in effect was a type of attempt at creating new couples, marriages, where the girls would in effect be in the public eye, and the young men would be able to choose from whom they saw someone who they felt might be suitable. The Gemara is not going to elaborate on that over here, but rather the Gemara will focus on the significance of these particular dates. Bishlamo Yom HaKippurim. I can understand well why Yom Kippur is classified as a very happy day. The Gemara, the Brisa said, Lo hoyu yomim tovim liYisrael, that there weren't better days than Yom Kippur and the 15th of Av. Yom Kippur, I can understand its significance and its association with happiness. Yom Slicha U'mechila. Yom Shenitnu Boi Luchos Achronos. It was a day of historic forgiveness. It was the day that Klal Yisrael received the second set of Luchos Habris, sometimes translated as the second set of tablets. The tablets, the Luchos Habris that Moshe Rabbeinu etched out. The Rashbam has a fairly detailed presentation, and we've tried to assist in learning it with some extensive marking to demonstrate how Chazal knew that on Yom Kippur Moshe Rabbeinu descended from Har Sinai with the second Luchos. But for our purposes, it's sufficient to be aware that this followed the forgiveness of Hashem from the Maisa Egel. Of course, forgiveness and the receipt of the Luchos is certainly reason for great joy. And that having happened on Yom Kippur, hence the source teaches us that that was one of these Yomim Tovim LiYisrael. The Gemara continues, Ela Chamisha Asor Ba'av, Mayhi. What's the significance of the 15th of Av? We already notice the triangles that appear. The note on the outside margin, the Mivneh, indicates that the triangles are De'ois Lahazbir Mahoya Miyuchad Betu Ba'av. What is different ideas as to what the significance of the 15th of Av are? We've included a he'ora, just a note, that the Rashbam in Dibur HaMaschil, Yoim Shehutar, Kol Deos Ha'elu, Loi Chokim Ze Al Ze. We're going to see a number of opinions, but they're not opinions of arguing with one another. They're simply what each one of these Rabbonim received from his teachers as to what the significance of the 15th of Av was. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Yoim Shehutru Shvotim Lovoi Ze Bozeh. This is the day on which the tribes were allowed to marry with one another. More specifically, we have seen in previous sugyas in this perek that a girl who was an heiress to property, she was restricted in her marriage opportunities. She had to marry a man from the same shevet. There was an initial interest on the part of the Torah that during that first generation in Eretz Yisrael, that girls who inherited land would keep the land that they inherited within their shevet, within their tribe. And if she would marry a man from another tribe, so he would possibly inherit her, and the land would be transferred from her to him or to their children, and the children would be associated with his, with the husband's tribe. However, that was a one-generational halacha, and it was on the 15th of Av, on the 52 Av, that it was paskined that halacha is no longer binding. My Dorush, what in the Torah indicates that this particular halacha was a one-generational thing? The pasuk says, Ze ha-dovar. And the drosh is, Dovar ze lo yehei noyeg ela bedor ze. That this ruling of Iser Hasavas Nachlo, the prohibition of having land transferred from one shevet to the other, was noheg, was practiced only in that generation. The expression ze ha-dovar, as we saw in the previous Gemara, we see as a limiting expression. Rabo bar Chana Omar, Rabbi Yochanan, Yoin Shehutar Shevet Binyamin Lovoi Bakohol. On the 15th of Av, the tribe of Binyamin was allowed to marry with the rest of the Jewish people. The Rashbam, on the lower part of the page, Yoim Shehutar Shevet Binyamin Kol Hanoch Amoroi Lo Pligi. This point we mentioned in our introduction, that all of these Amoraim are not arguing with one another. Ela mar gomir haimir abe, umar gomir haimir abe. Each one learned what he is reporting from his particular teacher. The issue concerning Shevet Binyamin is a story reported in the book of Judges in Sefer Shoftim. And this was as a result of the Pilegesh Begiva incident. And as a result of that, there was a restriction placed on marrying Shevet Binyamin. However, the Pasuk says, Dichtiv, V'ish Yisrael nishba b'mitzpah lemor, ish mimenu lo yitein bitoi l'vinyamin l'isha. And they vowed in Mitzpah that, and said that no one will give their daughter to someone from Binyamin. My Dorush, what did they darshan to see that particular restriction was of a momentary nature only? Mimenu, velo mibonenu. That means only from those that were there at the time, but not applying to their children. Namely, a halacha, or this restriction, only applying to a specific audience and not to their children, their descendants. This ruling took place on the 15th of Av. Rav Dimi bar Yosef Omar Rav Nachman Yom She Kolu Boi Meisei Midbar. After the incident of the Meraglim in the travels and from leaving Mitzrayim, after the spy story, the ruling from Shemayim came that generation would not enter Eretz Yisrael, only their children. So over a period of approximately 40 years, an entire generation died off, and they they knew that when Tisha B'Av came about, which was the day the Meraglim reported their negative story, their negative report about Eretz Yisrael, that they would pay, so to speak, through death on that day throughout those 40 years. The Rashbam goes through a calculation of how it came about that on the 15th of Av, at the end of 40 years, they realized that the Gezerah was the ruling, the punishment was completed, because it was on that day, at the end of 40 years, on the 15th of Av, that they found that no one died. No one had died on that particular Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av being not quite the middle of the month, when one hits the middle of the month, one can be sure that Tisha B'Av has passed, and they realized that no one died. So they realized that the punishment was over. The details are all found in the Rashbam. The Gemara continues on this particular point. Diomar Mar, Ad Shelo Kolu Meise Midbar, Lo Hoya Dibor Im Moshe. That during the 40 years in the Midbar, there wasn't communication between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Moshe as there had been previously. What that means, the Rabbeinu Gershom tells us, is that there wasn't the peh el peh, the direct communication, the communication of great clarity that only Moshe Rabbeinu experienced. Anyway, that, and the Rashbam as well at the top line says the same thing, that did not take place. This very close and intimate connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu ceased or was put on hold during that period of time. Shenemar, Vayi Kasher Tomu Kol Anshei HaMilchoma Lamus Mikerev Ha'om. And when all of those people died, V'samichlei Vayidaber Hashem Eli Lemor. Eli Hoyo Hadibor. The word Eli indicates this close, direct form of communication. The Rashbam points out that as a result of that, of the reinstitution of this close communication between the Kodesh Baruch and Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people made a day of festivity, so that the death of the Dor that took place every year, people were dying every year on Tisha B'Av as a result of the Chet HaMeraglim, that whole series of deaths ceased on the 15th, was clear that it ceased on the 15th of Av, and at that point the close communication was reinstituted, and as a result of that they made a festive day. A fourth opinion. Ula Omar Yom Shebitel Hoshea ben Ela Pardesoyos Shehoshev Yerovam Al Hadrochim Shelo Yalu Yisrael Loregel. Once again, another event from the Nach. The Nach describes to us how there was once an evil king, an evil ruler named Yerovam ben Nevat, who, as a result of feeling threatened in his kingdom of the northern section of the Jewish people, he prevented people from Aliyas HaRegel to Yerushalayim. And he put guards posted on the road leading to Yerushalayim, preventing them from getting there. He also established two golden calves that would serve as alternative worship sites, one in the north of Israel and one in the southern part of his kingdom, of his northern kingdom. But years later, the calves were taken away, and this king, Hoshea ben Elah, was several generations after Yerovam ben Nevat. He abolished the guards that Yerovam had set up, so by preventing the people from going to Aliyah Seregel to Yerushalayim on the Yomim Tovim. So that bittul of the guards took place on the 15th of Av. Rav Matana Omar, a fifth opinion, Yom She Nitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura. This is an event even later in Jewish history, during the time of the Churban Habayis. The community of Beitar, which was a very significant Jewish community, was annihilated, and the dead were left out unburied until one day they were allowed to bury them. That was the 15th of Av. The Omar of Matona Oiso Hayoim Shenitnu Haruge Beitar Lekvura, on the day that they were allowed to be buried, Tiknu Biyavne Hatoiv Vahametiv. The Chachomim who were located in Yavne, another community, one of the places that the Sanhedrin was exiled to, they established a fourth bracha in the Birchas Hamazon. Midoraisa, the Gemara in Bracha says, there are three paragraphs forming the Birchas Hamazon. The Chachmei Yavne added a fourth, known as Birchas HaTov HaMeitiv. And the expression HaTov and HaMeitiv is explained here by the Gemara, HaTov Shelo Hisrichu, that it was Tov, that was good, a nace, that these people who were left unburied didn't decompose. V'hametiv shenitnu l'kvura. That they were, the double expression, the second word, indicating that they were allowed to be buried. Rabba of Rav Yosef, the sixth opinion regarding the significance of Tu B'Av, Dami Travayo, Yoim Shepoiskin Boy Milichrois Eitzim Lamarocha. This is the day, an annual event, an annual date, we'll say, that every year wood was provided for the Beis HaMikdash. They would cut down trees, prepare chopped wood for the Marocha, for the fireplace on the top of the Mizbeach in the Azorah. It was necessary for the wood to be dry in order for it to be effective on the Mizbeach, and also to be worm-free. It shouldn't be toiloim in the wood. In order to achieve this, it had to be dried out, and that was accomplished by drying in the sun. The sun's intensity was felt through the summer until the 15th of Av. At that point, we'll see momentarily in the Gemara that the sun became weaker. You could say the heat needed to dry out the wood was started to diminish, and hence they stopped chopping wood until the next season. Desanya, the source tells us, Rabbi Lozer Agodal Omer, Kevon Shigia Chamisha Asor Ba'av, Toshash Koicha Shochamo, when the 15th of Av arrived, the sun's strength weakened, Lohoyu Kursin Eitzim Lamarocha, and they would not chop wood for the Mizbeach fireplace. Omar Rav Menashe, Vekoru Le Yoim Tavor Magol. And they refer to that day as literally the day of breaking of the hatchets. The idea of breaking of hatchet means that they wouldn't be needed anymore for that year. Mikan V'Elech, from that point on, the Moisif Yosef, She'enu Moisif Yosef. This expression needs to be explained. We'll take a look at the Rashbam. Notice where the asterisk is in the lower part of the narrow lines. Mitu be'av ve'elech de'moisif min halaylo al hayoim lishnois. He who adds, word moisif means to add, he who adds to his hours of learning, he adds drawing from the nighttime hours on the day. Yosef yomim, he'll live longer. Kirchtiv ki hu chayecha, the Torah is associated with life. Uksiv ki oirech yomim ushnois chayim v'shalom yosifulach. Shemitoch shehaleilois marichin v'yomim miskatrin. Since the nights started to get longer, in other words, daytime hours started to decrease, nighttime hours started to increase. Tzorech lasoik belimudoi gam balaylo. One sees from here that a certain amount of daytime hours were allocated for learning. But if the available daytime hours were becoming reduced because the nights were getting longer, you can't cut back on your learning just because there are fewer daylight hours for learning. So you've got to make up those lost hours by learning at night as well. And that's what's expected. Udaloi moisif, one who doesn't add on to his daytime hours by using night hours for learning, yosif. The Gemara now asks, my yosif, what does that mean? So the Gemara answers, Tani Rav Yosef, tikbere imei. Literally, his mother will bury him, meaning he'll die an early death. The expression Yosif is associated with completion, with being finished off. Rashbam explains a little bit more about that. The Gemara continues. Tana Rabbanan. Actually, before we begin the Gemara, let's just glance at the outside margin. The Nose, the topic heading. Shiva Kiplu Es Kol Ha'olam Kulo. There's seven people that encompass the entire world existence. That's one point. The second topic that will be discussed will be Al Mi Chal Hagzero Lomus Bamidbor Ekev Parshas Amaraglim. Who were to die in the Midbar during those 40 years of travel as a result of the incident involving the spies, the ones who came back, were sent by Moshe Rabbeinu and came back with a negative report concerning Eretz Yisrael. Gemara continues inside Tana Rabbanan. We see a Tanaic source. Shiva Kiplu Es Kol Ha'olam Kuloi. Seven people encompassed all of world history until the end of days. Misushelach Ra Odom. Misushelach, one of the descendants, his name appears in Parshas Bereishis, he saw Odom Arishon. So he forms a link between Odom Arishon and the one who saw him, as follows: Shem Ra Misushelach. Yankiv Ra Es Shem. Shem was the son of Noach. Amram, the father of Moshe, Ra Es Yankiv. Achia HaShiloni, Ra Es Amram. Eliyahu, Ra Es Achia HaShiloni. If one's keeping count, we've added numbers here, so you'll notice that Achia HaShiloni was the sixth figure whom we were able to link back from him using the links back to creation. But who saw Achia Shiloni? Eliyahu Hanavi. Ve'adayin kayom. Eliyahu Hanavi, according to tradition, is still alive, is still around. There's a Tosfos at the top that introduces a little point that many of you might be familiar with. Shiva kiplu kola ilam hay tana sovar, Tosfos says, de lio lo have Pinchas. The Tana here is of the opinion that Eliyahu Hanavi is not Pinchas, the grandson of Aharon HaKohen. De'i have Pinchas, if Eliyahu and Pinchas were one in the same, be'botzir mishiva avimotzi l'ashkuche, with less than seven, we would have been able to achieve this linkage. De'yoir ro'o yankiv, Yair, who is mentioned, Yair ben Menashe, who is mentioned a little bit later in the Gemara, he saw Yaakov, v'ro'o Pinchas. And that same Yair ben Menashe also saw Pinchas. And as you can see, on the side, you would have been able to encompass the world with six people. V'sovar nami haitana, v'serach bas osher, eino chaya le'olam. And this Tana also is of the opinion that Serach, who is the daughter of Osher, as opposed to other opinions, this opinion holds, is not one of those that lives on forever. Continuing in the Gemara. V'achia hashiloni ro'o es Amram? The Gemara is asking, the source we just saw claims that Achia Hashiloni saw Amram. But how could that be? V'ha k'siv v'loi noisar mehem ish ki'im kolev ben Yefune v'yoshua ben Nun. There was no one left from those who exited Mitzrayim except for Kolev and Yoshua. And as we've included between the lines here, we've written in the im achiyah hoya b'Mitzrayim. If it were so that achiyah hashiloni was in Mitzrayim, where he would have seen Amram, if that were so, if he would have been in Mitzrayim, lo zocha likoneis Eretz Yisrael v'liros es Elio, he wouldn't have been meritorious of entering Eretz Yisrael in order to see Elio. We have to explain this point. The Braisa says that Achia saw both Amram, a member of the Mitzrayim community, and Elio, a member of the future Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan community. In order to explain this, we have to find out more about who was condemned to die in the Midbar. Before we continue, we're going to take a look at the outside margin. We have the Mivneh, the structural note, describing the diamonds. They are Deois al Mi Loi Nigzura Gzera. Two opinions we have on this Amit, concerning who was not included in the Gzera, in the ruling concerning those destined to die as a result of the Parshas HaMeraglim. Omar Rav Hamnuna, Loi Nigzera Gzera al Shivtoi Shel Levi. The Gzera of the Meraglim did not concern the tribe of Levi. And Achia Hashiloni was from Levi. Dichtiv Bamidbor Hazeh Yiplu Pigrechem V'chol Pikudechem V'chol Misparchem Ben Esrim Shana V'Mala. After the Parshas HaMeraglim, the ruling was issued that they would die. Who would die? So this pasuk says that all those above 20 years old, all those whose accounting was made at the age of 20, the term pikudechem, when they were accounted for, Mi shepikudov mi ben esrim. Those who were counted by having reached the age of 20, they were then counted. Who was counted by the age of 20, or at the age of 20 were counted? Most of the men of Klal Yisrael were counted only when they reached the age of 20. Yotza Shivto Shalevi, this is to the exclusion of the tribe of Levi, Shepikudov Miben Shloshim. Their accounting is made at 30, not at 20 years of age. When we say 30, it's important to note, as the Rashbam does, 30 means 30 days of age. This you can see in the Rashbam. He says, Shepikudov miben shloishim yoim, shohoyal avim nimnim miben choydesh v'malo, liftoi salema b'choros. There was an accounting made of the numbers of Levim from the point they reached 30 days, at which point there was pidyon done, redemption of the Bechoros. The firstborn Kedusha was transferred to Shevet Levi, to those Levim that were 30 days of age. However, v'lo nira nihiroli, the Rashbam does not approve of this pshat. Rashbam feels that citing 30 and associating it with 30 days of age, the pasuk would have more likely, the Gemara would have more likely used the term chodesh. Elahai shloishim haynu shloishim shana. Rather, the term 30, when we say to the exclusion of the tribe of Levi, who were counted at the age of 30, it really means 30 years. Haynu shloishim shana. Kidechtiv b'nei gershom kohosim roim ben shloishim shana v'malo v'ad ben chamishim shana. V'ahu cheshbon nokat she'osu cheshbon keneged cheshbon she'Yisrael hu. This cheshbon, this calculation of 30 years of age, from 30 to 50, was the age group in which the Levium functioned in the time of the Yitzia from Mitzrayim, when they functioned in their Levite roles of carrying the Mishkan. V'hu cheshbon nokat she'oiso cheshbon, we mentioned this before, is keneged cheshbon she'Yisrael hu, the v'yotzei tzava kopid rachmono, the v'Yisrael k'siv kol yotzei tzava, v'im k'siv miben shloishim shana v'chulei, kol abo l'tzva la'avod. The tzava of the Levim, as opposed to the tzava of the rest of Am Yisrael. The rest of Am Yisrael was a tzava, an army for warfare. And the tzava of the Levim was an army of servants of the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the context of the Mishkan. With that having been said, though, it's clear that the calculation involving the Levim is a different calculation than that of the rest of Klal Yisrael. And when the Gzerah of the Meraglim was stated, the Pasuk said, as we saw, Miben Esrim Shana V'mala, those that are counted from age 20, not Shevet Levi, which is counted from age 30. The Gemara asks, "Umishar shvotim lo ayel," and from the other tribes they did not enter Eretz Yisrael. Notice we have a long question here, which lasts a few lines. You can see that by the long question marking between the Gemara on the right hand side of the Gemara text, between it and the Rabbeinu Gershom. The long question simply indicates that the Tanaic source forms our question. How can you say that other Shvatim didn't enter? V'atanya, you have the following source. Yoyer ben Menashe, Mocher ben Menashe. Notice we've dashed, underlined Menashe, people from Menashe, these are other than Levi. Noldu, Bimei Yankiv. These are the sons of Menashe, were born in the time of Yankiv.
Velo mesu ad she nichnasu Yisrael arts. They didn't die until Klal Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael. So you see, they entered Eretz Yisrael. They weren't part of Levi. They were from what's called other Shvatim. Shenemar vayaku mehem anshei ho'ai kishloishim v'sheisha ish. In one of the battles, after the Battle of Jericho, we see there was a battle between the Jewish people and anshei ho'ai. And it says that kishloshim, approximately, if you will, 36 people were killed. Vitanya, shloshim v'shisha mamish. One opinion says that the 36 is an exact figure. 36 people were killed. Amalo Rabbi Nechemi v'chinemar shloshim v'shisha, v'alo lo nemar elo kishloshim v'shisha. The pasuk doesn't say 36. It says about 36. The chof, indicating approximate. So what does the Shloshim V'Shisha mean? Elo ze Yoyer ben Menashe Sheshokil Kerubo Shel Sanhedrin. The Pasuk tells us that he was killed. Yoyer ben Menashe was an outstanding figure. He was equal to Rove of Sanhedrin. Now if Sanhedrin numbers 71, the majority of 71 would be 36. 36 and 36 is 72. So he, though an individual, a single person, was equal to 36 people. But what we see here, and the main point is to see that Yoyer ben Menashe, who was born in the time of Yaakov Avinu, entered Eretz Yisrael, and he wasn't from Shevet Levi. Elo Omar of Achar Vayankiv. We see another opinion that relates to the issue of who was covered by that gezerah, the gezerah samaraglim. Loi nigzero gezerah, lo al pochos mi ben esrim, velo al yeser mi ben shishim. He refines the age, he details the ages more than we saw before. He says that the gzera, the ruling of those to die in the Midbar, covered only those that were not less than 20 and not more than 60. In other words, if a person leaving Mitzrayim was more than 60 years of age, he was not destined to die as a result of the Maisa with the Meraglim. The Gemara now elaborates. Lo al pochos mi ben esrim, dichtiv, mi ben esrim shana v'mala. The pasuk, as far as less than 20 would not die, that's stated explicitly. The pasuk says from 20 years and up. V'lo al yeser mi ben shishim, and likewise, those above 60 were not included in this gezerah. How are we to know that? Gomar v'malo v'malo me'erichin. We're going to employ a gzeirah shava method of learning from this parsha of Meraglim to the parsha of Erechin. Erechin is a parsha in the Torah that deals with a person offering his Torah value to the Beis HaMikdash fund. When we speak about Torah value, this is a value that's as opposed to market value. The Torah value is dictated by the Torah and dictated in terms of ages. We have from ages, I might add, ages and gender. So we have ages concerning males, ages concerning females, and there are different breakdowns. But for our purposes, we'll talk about point of demarcation at age 20. There's a value for those, the Torah assigns a value for those under age 20 and those over age 20. And there's another cutoff point, another breakdown point at age 60, namely those above age 60 as opposed to those that were between 20 and 60. The Gemara explains, Ma lahalon, just like over in Parshas Erechin, Yeser mi ben shishim, Kepochos mi ben esrim, that those above 60 are similar, not exact, but similar to those less than 20. Namely, both of them, though they both do not have the same Torah value, one thing can be said about both of them, that both of them do not have the Torah value of the 20-year-old. Namely, the 20 to 60-year-old is 50 shekel. Those that are above 60 and those that are below 20 are both not 50 shekel. So just like we see in the Parsha of Erechin that above 60 and under 20 have something in common, Afkan, so too with regard to the Gzeiros HaMidbar, the Gzeira, the ruling regarding the Meraglim, Yeser mi ben Shishim, Kepochos mi ben Esrim, those above 60 are likened to those less than 20. And just like those less than 20 were not included in this ruling, the ruling to die in the Midbar, so too those above 60. With that, we complete our shiur for today.